Welcome to Undercard Supercast, number Moose Johnson. I am your host, founder, editor, and Mega Man 3 cosplayer of Undercard Superstar, Luke Irwin. Joining me tonight, the fourth member of Kai Yintai, Ben Cohn. Nextly, he was born in the wagon of a traveling show. His mama used to dance for the money they'd throw, Connor Dillon. Next to him, a man who believes in 12-year-old scotch and free love, Dan Galvan. He thinks 45-mile-an-hour wind gusts while golfing is a breezy day on the links, Bitterman, Josh Hall. He's still on a frantic hunt for the mark-ass trick that didn't text Adrian Broner back before his fight Saturday, Nolan Howell. And lastly, you may know him as the diapered pride drumbeater, T.C. Engel. Dateline Sacramento, California. A stacked card that lived up to the hype on your free television. Connor, however, still trying to find it on Fox Sports 1. Who wins your golden Beltran beard braid? And who is the unfortunate soul that walks away but nothing but a steamy Sacramento golden poop? Ben?
Oh, the golden... Well, Demetrius Johnson's definitely getting... He gets the award, for sure. He got rid of every last bit of criticism anyone could possibly have had for him. He went from... He's defended his title for the third time, all right? He's clearly established himself as number one by getting rid of his biggest rival. And he's gotten rid of the he can't finish meme, you know? He's still not, like, obviously, you look at it statistically, he's still not a finisher. But
last two
overall,
fights.
You can't beat what he did. He established himself as number one in his division, won an extra $50,000 for a knockout of the night that nobody saw coming, banked $300K. I mean, definitely gets the he's definitely got to be the one pick, you know. And that's on a card of a lot of winners, you know. Golden poop, man. I want to say Cody McKenzie because holy shit. I mean, he lost this fight, so he's probably out of the UFC at this point because he's just not a UFC caliber fighter. He came in he came in with basketball shorts. He just fought with the tag still on. And after losing his fight, he went to the tunnel and drank and then threw up while still bleeding from his mouth and then tried to smoke. I mean, I don't even know how do you top that?
He's Kenny Powers.
It's just ridiculous, you know? There's nobody who deserves it more than him. And that's at the card where Danny Castillo's, the judges in the Danny Castillo fight, the referee in the Danny Castillo fight, there were some bad showings, but that just takes the cake for me.
Yeah. I'm going to have to give my golden... what was the word?
Beltran beard braid.
Golden Beltran beard braid.
That a boy.
I've got to give that to DJ, and I want to throw Matt Hume in there too, because I don't think Demetrius Johnson would have made all of the different advancements in his technique and whatnot without his coaches, and Hume is his head coach and. Only one I can name off the top of my head. So I want to throw them both up there for that award. Now, the golden poop. You know, honestly, I can't say it's anything but Cody McKenzie. I mean, even with the Castillo judges, even with, oh, my God. A guy that does that, it's even worse than Dan Galvan on a Saturday night, you know? So, I think Cody McKenzie deserves the golden poop.
Daniel?
My golden Joey Beltran's beard.
Or Mike Beltran.
Oh, we're talking about whatever. You know, Joey Beltran has a fierce beard. At least
he certainly does.
And I'm certainly an expert on beards.
Golden Carlos Beltran beard.
Okay, the golden, whatever, the award goes to Zach Bukowski because in 22 days, he goes from competing in RFA to rising up the UFC flyweight ranks, you know. The fight against Scott Jorgensen was close. although it could be debated who won either way, but at the end of the day, Mikowski came in on 22 days' notice and beat Scott Jorgensen. And just how his career has dramatically – how the stock of his career has dramatically increased in such a short period of time is amazing. He came out. I picked Jorgensen. He validated Ben's pick. He made me look stupid. So I'd have to give that to Zach Mikowski. As far as the golden hoop, that would have to go to Andy Foster, the California State Athletic Commission. While I applaud him for getting ahead of this judging curve, he acknowledges the problems. Heading into the event, we were told that there was a strict purple belt requirement on judges for this event. And while the referees were fantastic, we had Herb Dean and John McCarthy, and there are few people better than them at their job. The judging was really questionable. It started with the first fight on the card, the Darren Uyanoyama versus Out fight. One judge, I believe, scored the fight for Uyanoyama, and I really don't understand how you do that. The madness continued to Danny Castillo not being awarded a 10-8 in that first round on two of the judges' scorecards. That is simply unexplainable. It's moronic. That should be the litmus test. If you are unable to award that a 10-8, you should not be judging. I mean, it's as simple as that. And there were a few other questionable scorecards. Personally, in the Jorgensen fight with Mikowski, I really thought Jorgensen won that round, too, fairly convincingly, and the other judges didn't. I'd have to rewatch that, but those two scorecards that I first mentioned were really horrific, and for Andy Foster to come into the event and brag about having, quote-unquote, skilled judges, it looks pretty poorly in retrospect.
Guys, Prince before we go on... I actually have a theory regarding the Danny Castillo, Edson Barboza. Everyone remembers how Barboza threw up a couple submission attempts, right? Well, I mean, someone in with a purple belt and a grappling style, like, I don't know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, could potentially see that as threatening enough to even out the round and make it a 10-9. So that's just a potential theory.
That would be wrong.
Wrong way.
That yeah, I know. But like, I mean, that's the thing.
From now on, only white belts.
As somebody who does jiu-jitsu personally, I see what you mean. But no,
you're not those judges. You're not even a purple belt. You don't even know, bro.
Oh snap.
Okay, I'm out of
gonna need some salve for that sick burn.
But no, Ben, I understand that there are people who view it differently, and I just think that they potentially overcompensated for it, an attempt to
I'd like to add one thing about this whole you should be have experience in BJJ to judge fights. The sport's called mixed martial arts, and there are several arts. There's so many, and just to narrow it down to you have to know this one martial art in order to judge fights is a bit ridiculous, and I think we should stop this whole you have to be a former fighter, you have to have a purple belt. You just can't be a dumbass. You really just can't be a dumbass, and I'm pretty sure we just got to get smart people judging fights. That's the line.
That kills 60% of judges right there.
Well, you know what?
You're committing judge-icide.
Oh, wow. What a terrible offense. If that's the worst thing I'm known for, I lived a good life.
Sometimes I just need to be cleansed. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Josh?
All right. Golden Beltran's beard.
Braid.
Well, I'll throw somebody else out there because, I mean, everybody knows how awesome Demetrius was. That was amazing. He destroyed Benavidez. But how about Bobby Green? For just picking apart Pat Healy on the feet and making it look rather easy in the process. He couldn't take him down. I mean, Green just looked great in there, and that's by far the biggest win for him. And he's got three good ones in a row now since entering the UFC. Volkman, Kraus, and now Healy is pretty solid resume to have coming in from Strikeforce and not really being talked about. And Golden Poop. God damn it, Cody. I like McKenzie, and that's just hard to watch. That's just brutal. I mean, the area code written on in marker over the Nike symbol and the pockets. How is that? That's legal somehow, apparently. I looked into it. Apparently the pockets aren't illegal as long as there's no zippers. but that's just an injury waiting to happen. I mean, seriously, that's dangerous, and that shouldn't have happened. They should never have let him out there wearing that. And, I mean, then the stuff after the fact. I mean, I just hope he can get his head together, because he doesn't need to be in a cage fighting anywhere, let alone the UFC, until he gets some personal things in order.
I'm going to – not necessarily from the UFC, but a golden Beltran beard braid from the weekend. One hard-hitting Argentinian known as Marcos Maidana putting an abrupt halt like a Brooklyn Transit train crashing the Broner hype wagon. God bless Marcos Maidana doing the Lord's work. Doing the Lord's damn work, Nolan. Fantastic. So, yeah, we can call that Floyd talk for a little bit here. Golden Poop, I'm going to go to Xbox. Promote your goddamn fighter. If I saw Demetrius Johnson half as much on my Xbox console dashboard as I see ads for Slim Jim, I'd be a very happy guy and would want to know more about the lad if I didn't know who he was already. You know, you're the exclusive sponsor for DJ. Do something with him, for the love of God. There's no excuse now. That boring fighter label's gone. He's personable. I don't know what else you want out of a fighter, Xbox. Holy shit, do something with him, please. Nolan?
Golden Beltran beard braid goes to Adrian Broner for putting up a hell of a fight.
He won one round.
Yeah, it was one of the best rounds I've ever seen, too. It was a display of heart and effort. And considering the guy had his heart broken right before the fight because some girl wouldn't text him back. They wouldn't text back a young Cincinnati champion with money. How dare they? He's a kind, loving man.
Nolan, you are adorable.
I hope he comes back.
After Rey Mysterio getting that 619 through the ropes, dude, I don't know how his head's going to be after that.
but seriously, Golden Beltran beer braid for me goes to Mighty Mouse, obviously. I've always thought that Mighty Mouse is a dangerous fighter in the sense that he is so fast that if he hits you and you're not looking, you're not at a time right, he doesn't need that much power as quick as he is, and it showed with that lightning overhand right that just melted Joseph Benavidez back to Ted Nugent's ranch. Fuck him for coming out to Ted Nugent, by the way, and fucking for having nipple rings as well. Golden Poop goes to Marcos Maidana. or the chick that didn't text Adrian Broner back. In serious, that's good to Cody McKenzie. Go away, clown shoes.
My Golden Beltran braided beard. Did I get that right?
Beltran beard braid.
Beard braid.
You're only taking the braid. You're not taking the whole beard with you. Let's not get greedy.
Sorry, I need all I can get, dude. Apart from what you guys have said about Mighty Mouse, which is all well deserved, I'm going to give it to my personal 2014 Fighter of the Year and one of my least favorite fighters, Uriah Faber.
How are you looking into a crystal ball that well? 2014 Fighter of the Year.
I just really feel like he's going to do big things in 2014.
Okay, I respect it. Big respect it.
Yeah, 2013 Fighter of the Year, Uriah Faber. He's had an incredible year. He's taken out 4 top 10 fighters. Menjivar Jorgensen, Alcantar, and McDonald's. An incredible resume. He obliterated McDonald. He looked better against McDonald than Burrell did, even if he does get annihilated by Burrell again. But, yeah, Faber looked incredible. He's had an amazing year, and as much as we like to make fun of him in title fights, there's no way you can deny him the winner of Cruz Burrell. There's absolutely no way. He was incredible this year. He was incredible against McDonald, and I'll watch him against Burrell or Cruz again, even if he does lose. And Golden Poop, apart from the easy McKenzie jokes, you, like, come on, man. You're wearing basketball shorts. Even if, like, the UFC didn't allow his sponsors at the last minute, like, the words kind of going around, you have to do better than that, man. You go in there looking like fucking Nolan Howell, and you get just annihilated. Like, come on, dude, you're facing 2013 Sean Stone.
Dude, how funny would have been if he would have showed up in cargo shorts?
I will say, I'm not a very fashionable dresser, but I take great offense to being compared to Cody McKenzie in any capacity.
You haven't quite elevated yourself to Cody McKenzie level.
I don't know. Cody McKenzie was
the
one to
worst man on earth. He hangs out with Ronda Rousey and he sucks at his job.
He was hanging out with Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate.
I hope he dives into a giant bushel of lobsters when he's lobster fishing out in Alaska. For all I care.
That would be great. I hope they catch that on TV.
Let's stay in Sacktown. I immediately got shouted down with much venom when I suggested that Demetrius Johnson might be the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Hey! Quit with the hanky-panky, kid. We're rolling. Might be the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Yeah, I was pretty immediately shouted down, but I don't know the last time a bona fide champion took down a bona fide number one contender with such just knocked him out and finished him that clearly. I mean, Velasquez probably did it to Dos Santos, even though it wasn't a finish technically. But I don't know, do you guys share my enthusiasm for DJ number one? Or if not, I want your top three pound-for-pound fighters as of right now. Benjamin?
I don't agree that he's number one. I do agree that he's definitely okay, so number one is are we counting GSP as retired?
Retired.
Yeah. Okay. So number one right now, probably Jones.
Lost to Gustafson.
Okay.
Go
number
ahead.
Two,
it's America. You're entitled to your opinion. No matter.
Aldo. And number three, probably
lost
right
it,
now.
Lost to Edgar.
No.
I want to hear. I want to hear. Beans.
Number three right now. Number three right now is whom, Ben?
Number three is Johnson.
So why do you have Aldo over Johnson?
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, Aldo's got a much longer run of dominance. It's like, it stretches back to the WEC. You know, the closest anybody's come to beating him is Mark Hominick in the fifth round. I mean,
Frankie Edgar.
I think that was a good closer possibly to than Frankie Edgar winning the last two rounds when he clearly lost the first three. So
took it easily.
I don't see any way you could put him above Aldo or Jones. I put him above Barao until Barao beats. If Barao beats Cruz, I put Barao back above Johnson. But until then, Demetrius Johnson's the number one. The reason why I can't put him as number one, flyweight's too new. There's not enough depth right now. I mean, after he just starched Benavidez, there's really not that much left for him at this current moment. So, and it doesn't look like there is on the horizon that opportunities either. So that's why I have him as number three as opposed to number one. I could see why people want to put him as number one, but I don't agree.
Even though he fought for the title at bantamweight too?
No, wait. Since I'm next here. I actually do have DJ as my number one pound for pound for several reasons.
My man.
Yes, Jones lost to Gustafson. I haven't watched the Edgar Aldo fight, so I can't comment on that.
It was a clear Aldo win. There was no
Edgar.
Questions.
Yeah,
how was
so,
it an Edgar
so,
win?
Like I said, I can't comment
three.
On it.
Dude.
So I'm just going to move on to my next.
Luke's
point.
Just being contrarian. Luke's
Mark Hunt deserves a title shot. Dos Santos illegal head kick.
Exactly.
See, that's what Luke's doing right now.
And so the big sticking point for me is I think a pound for pound list should be either a utter dominance, and when I say utter, I mean UDDER. exactly of all competition, but I score more points also in my personal set. For when you dominate competition in a weight class, and you're also dominant in another weight division, And so I have DJ over because he was a top five, top three bantamweight. And then when he dropped the flyweight, the only questionable fight he had was his first fight against Ian McCall, which was scored a draw and should have gone to a fourth round. But Australians can't do math, so go figure. But since then, he's been dominant. He's beat Benavidez twice, won by.
And then he avenged that McCall fight.
Yeah, and he did, and he won the second McCall fight. He finished.
But he never avenged his other two losses.
Well, I'm sorry that Torres got destroyed, and his soul was taken by Michael McDonald, and then he was promptly fired by the UFC. So I'm sorry that he can't really get
Johnson
that win back.
Johnson didn't lose to Torres. Johnson never lost to Torres.
Right.
I'm talking about Pickett.
Pickett's dropping the flyweight anyway. So.
That's the best flyweight title fight I see. That's the best fight I see them putting together.
DJ would wax Pickett
DJ,
at flyweight.
Right now, DJ, if Pickett can even make the weight limit, which I think is scary, I think DJ would totally.
He's not a big bantamweight.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right, so,
he's
all right,
stocky.
All right, Connor, you have DJ one. Who do you have two?
Two, I would throw up Jose Aldo. And for three, I would probably, well, since GSP retired, I would probably throw in Barao. Yeah. I'm a stickler for those weight classes.
Not John Jones?
No.
So you had Aldo and Barao?
Yeah.
You're silly.
I'm sorry, I can't be a fan of John Jones.
Dan?
Okay. All right.
Dan, please say something that makes sense.
I have a talking stick.
Please.
It's this whole Demetrius Johnson as number one pound for pound, I absolutely cannot get on this train. When we're talking about pound for pound, we're not talking about how great these guys are. We're picking apart at their little resumes, and we're finding the weaknesses of it. And the reason why it's hard to put Johnson over a guy like John Jones, Chris Weidman. And Chris Weidman, I would say no just because he doesn't have the track record. But, man, if you beat the greatest fighter of all time in back-to-back fights and you finish him, you got a hell of an argument. But I would put John Jones and Cain Velasquez.
He didn't beat Frankie Edgar.
Who's that, Chris Weidman? Yeah, and if we're talking about hypothetical losses that aren't in reality, we might as well talk about Ian McCall beating Demetrius Johnson. So – back to what I was saying, Cain Velasquez and John Jones, these are two guys with really no blemish on their record, aside from Matt Hamill receiving 12-6 elbows. And have they had back-and-forth performances? Yes, but we can go back into every fighter's record and pinpoint those. At the end of the day, these fighters have dominated their weight classes against established fighters for an extended period of time, and they've gotten to that point in time. With Demetrius Johnson...
dominated his weight class for an extended period of time.
Yeah. Okay, Luke. Back to what I was saying. We're looking at the holes, the losses. We don't see those with those two fighters. With Demetrius Johnson, it's still in our memory that he lost to Dominic Cruz. It's still in our memory that he drew with Ian McCall, and it was 2010 and he lost to Brad Pickett. Listen, we're picking at little things, but Demetrius Johnson is going to have to wait until the guys above him fall off. Or he's just going to have to do some insane stuff because not only has he lost in our recent memory, he also doesn't have much to work with within the flyweight division. His biggest victories off the top of my head are Ian McCall, Joseph Benavidez, and John Moraga, and John Dodson. Those are his four big wins. When you compare it to the others, it just doesn't stack up.
So your number one?
My number one would have to be Cain Velasquez after what he did to the number two guy in his division. I mean,
if you're basing it based on what someone did to the number two guy in their division, how does Demetrius Johnson not – like, I would never do Demetrius Johnson, but Cain Velasquez, the way he embarrassed the clear number two in his division.
Okay, listen.
You also just said you're basing this on – somebody who has dominated their division for a prolonged amount of time.
Luke, we are in a podcast. I have about 30 seconds to talk about a particular
What the fuck
guy.
Does that even mean? We're in a podcast.
I'm giving you a...
Yes,
Dan, I'm giving
you
Dan,
a, we are.
Luke,
and you're
I'm
talking
you,
in one, like an ass.
Luke.
I'm giving you a single point on a guy. I'm not going to go down your resume. I'm giving you his strongest point on his resume. The strongest point on his resume is he went out and he destroyed Junior Dos Santos. I can go back and go through everything, but I'm telling you, the strongest point is Cain Velasquez destroying Junior Dos Santos.
If Cain's your number one, that's fine. I'm not debating that. No. I'm not. Here's the thing, Dan. I'm not debating who you have number one, number two. I'm debating your reasoning for having Cain one. It's the same reason why DJ would be number one.
Luke.
No, what he's saying is the destruction of Dos Santos is more impressive than the destruction of Benavidez.
That's what I'm thinking. Also,
because Benavidez has been beaten by other guys, too. Junior.
I think he's saying that it was a more decisive way to dominate. He completely dominated from pillar to post for five rounds twice. You know, I think that's what he means by the way that they – I think he means the way he beat
them. Not only that. Counterpoint is he couldn't finish. What I mean, that goes both ways.
He did finish. Yeah.
We were there.
He's been the kingpin of his division for a much longer time, and he's beaten more established guys from that time period as well. Brock Lesnar, who – yeah, whatever. Antonio Silva. The list goes on for Velasquez.
Wait, can you –
And John Jones
actually,
would be number two.
Can you actually list the people that Velasquez has beaten as a title holder?
You want to go? Okay, I'll go. Someone last. You want to pull up Sherdog? Let me pull up Sherdog right now, because I don't have a close here from memory.
They put Dos Santos and Lesnar to win.
This segment hasn't turned into a complete dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Let Josh Hall talk.
Wait, no, I want to hear Dan's number two.
We still haven't gotten to that yet.
John Jones and then Demetrius Johnson.
I'm still shocked that Cain Velasquez is ranked that high.
I'm surprised that you guys don't have Aldo as your number. I'm surprised you don't have Aldo there. I'm sorry.
I think it's been his inactivity and just the way he's looked in recent title fights.
Okay. Well,
because of his injuries.
His injuries drop him out of your top three for some reason?
We're talking about the greatest fighters. We're talking about the pound for pound greatest
fighters.
Ben,
we're talking about a podcast.
Please let it be Josh's turn.
Yeah,
we're in a podcast, and I like to make points that I totally double back on. Jose Aldo has not maintained his dominance over the featherweight division for the past 6 years. I've been hallucinating. This is a podcast.
Okay, one last thing.
Josh,
I didn't have my pound for pound rankings.
Okay, number one, it has to be John Jones. As much as I don't like the guy, he's... Right now, he's the best fighter in the world, pound for pound. I don't think that it's even close. His level of dominance is something that is almost unattainable for other fighters. And the Gustafsson fight was close. He got the nod from the decisions. Demetrius has had that go his way, too. But he has not had the sustained level of pure dominance that Jones has. I mean, look at his resume. You can just reel off names. Stefan Bonner. Vladimir Matyshenko, Ryan Bader, Shogun, Rampage, Machida, Rashad, Vitor, Chael. Demetrius doesn't have that. But he is number two because his level of dominance at 125 is incredibly impressive. And his ability to finish the last two fights have definitely catapulted him up there, with number three being Aldo, because the guy's just he's a machine. I mean, he's phenomenal. And his inactivity is the only thing that could drop him down to three, combined with Demetrius being so impressive in the last year. But it's him and I have him and Aldo basically neck and neck for the two and three spots. But it's Jones a cut above.
I will agree with Dan that Aldo has not looked tremendous in his last couple fights. Now, whether that be for what it is, but you know, he hasn't looked like the, you know, the stone cold killer.
But that being said, has John Jones also not looked that good? Like, he almost got submitted by Vitor Belfort at 205, and he arguably lost.
Yeah, but look at what Vitor's done now against everyone else. That's not as bad of a thing.
Given he's still just murdered Vitor Belfort at 205, when you're supposed to be the best fighter in the world.
But I mean, Vitor Belfort, aren't you just out of nearly dropped in every fight?
To me, it's... The resumes are impressive. Now, we all have our own criteria for judging this. It's not – there is no carved in stone for how someone gets to their pound-for-pound rankings. To me, it's I look at it more not necessarily as off the resume. It's how you've looked. And the fact that Demetrius Johnson is getting better is terrifying for the rest of the division. I think, again, if you look past, you know, Jones, again, got scared by Vitor, got a razor-thin decision against Gustafson, who, you know, you can argue about whether Gustafson was even the number two in the division at the time. To me, the fact that Demetrius has cleaned out the entire flyweight division and 80% of the bantamweight division, I got to give DJ number one right now. It's a time of uncertainty. And again, even what GSP was in, it's along the same logic as Jones, only GSP has more history. You know, St. Pierre did not look great against Hendricks, obviously. They looked pretty good against Condit, but still got scared, got nailed. But DJ number one, I'm going probably Aldo. Nah, you know, and it's a toss up between Jones and Aldo 2 and 3. It depends on the day. Nolan?
John Jones, number one. He has cleared out light heavyweight. He has beaten Rampage, Rashad, you know, Vitor, who has looked great at pretty much every weight. Chael, who's Chael, you know. He's a serviceable top 10 at light heavyweight. He's cleaned out the division. He defeated the power puncher Ryan Bader. He beats everyone who stood in his way. And to me, the last two fights have been really good shows of his capability in adversity, in the sense that we have not seen him challenged before, and every champion is going to be challenged. Silva got challenged by Sonnen, and he was still the best after, and it's just clear the dominance in his division, the depth of the division compared to flyweight, it's pretty obvious there. Two, I don't think Velasquez has quite made it yet. I'll probably have to go Aldo too, just because of Rain, the length of Rain, clearing out some very good featherweight fighters, showing pretty much no holes in his game except for cardio. And three, I guess I will put GSP here, but he's retired. So between Velasquez and Johnson is my last two here, and I'll go Johnson, just because the definitive loss to Junior Dos Santos, even though those were revenge. Johnson hasn't been decisively finished.
Taylor?
You know, you guys keep talking about how they've looked lately, how dominant they are over the division. And, you know, that being said, like, there's only one champion that comes to mind when you talk about that, and that's obviously Ronda Rousey. So my first fighter is going to – No, my first –
Shut.
That's wonderful.
Fuck.
Please go on, Taylor. Up. Please
see,
continue.
I actually do want to keep wanting to hear this.
Yeah, please.
No, I was just messing around. When we were talking after the fight on Saturday night, I was pretty anti Johnson, but you know, I've been thinking about the last few days, and you could go Jones, but I just hold that Gustafson fight against him way probably more than I should, so I just cannot justify putting him over him. And Aldo hasn't looked like WEC Aldo I guess against Wineland he was incredible, but other than that, like, the Faber fight was okay. Jorgensen, he was okay. He's
shut
a lot
Faber
of
Faber down with leg kicks like no one has ever done. That was brutal.
I have some bad memories of that night, Josh, okay?
Don't we all?
Yeah, I can't put anybody but Demetrius Johnson at number one. He's looked absolutely incredible over the last few years. Like, and Saturday night was just the cherry on top. It was an amazing knockout that nobody expected against easily the number two guy in the division. And, you know, it sucks for him. There's nobody really that's compelling to watch him fight next. People that say Makovsky next are imbeciles. And the winner of McCall Pickett's going to be another train wreck. So, but yeah, Demetrius Johnson. Oh, fuck Lineker. But yeah.
Harsh.
Missing weight 3 times in 6 fights is harsh.
But yeah, Johnson won. I want to go Brow too, just because I'm a big fan of his. So if we would have been talking about this after the McDonald fight, I would have struggled with it more, because if memory serves, he lost the first round and maybe the second before finishing him. My memory's foggy on that, but he wasn't incredible. But that fight against Wineland, the first round was kind of back and forth, and then just absolutely obliterated him in the second. So I'm going to go Brow 2, and I want to say Aldo 3, but 3 is really a toss-up, because the top 3 for me before GSP retiring would have been Johnson, Brow, and GSP in some order. And now it's kind of up for grabs, and, you know, Velasquez, whatever. He's fighting heavyweights. Heavyweights suck. John Jones lost to Gustafson, so it kind of just leaves Aldo.
Ben, I hope your camera works soon, dude. That profile picture is the most punchable thing I might have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, my camera is not the issue. It's the fact that it's you guys keep cutting out, and it's kind of allows me to hear you guys.
Then your camera's the issue.
I told you to get it to Netscape 2.0.
The same joke 46 times?
It won't fry your IBM, Ben. It'll be fine.
Now, see, last night the joke was about Netscape 1.0. Now it's about 2.0, Ben.
It's an upgraded joke.
Thanks, guys. I love you, too.
Dateline, Dallas, Texas. Home of the new UFC welterweight champion. The bout between Johnny the Big Rig Hendricks and ruthless Robbie Lawler after George St. Pierre vacated the UFC welterweight championship is set for March in Dallas. Was that the right call, Ben Cohn?
Yeah. I mean, the only other option that immediately made sense, because, you know, they didn't sign Askren, so, yeah, was Condit, and Condit just lost to GSP recently. He just lost to Hendricks recently. It doesn't make sense yet. Robbie Lawler's coming off the big win of the guy who was the future of the division. So, yeah, it totally makes sense. Johnny Hendricks definitely deserved a shot after that controversial fight. And Robbie Lawler definitely deserves it. But seriously, who the hell thought you'd be seeing Robbie Lawler fight for a UFC title in 2013? It's insane. 2014, sorry. It's insane. But it's awesome. And I can't wait for that fight, because it's going to be one hell of a fight.
Connor?
Yeah, I'm in the same mindset, really. I'm really pumped for it, because I'm sure I'll get to see it live. On top of that, I don't know who else you could even throw up in there. I mean, like, there's...
Condit!
I can't, no.
I lost to Hendricks.
I couldn't put Condit in there unless he beat someone. Beat someone again. I kind of want to see a rematch between him and McDonald. I almost wish that they had a 4-man tournament, 1-night tournament in Japan for the welterweight title, just so we could see the glory that once was.
Pride sucked.
You can't put a 1-night title on for the belt. Takes fighters completely out of their element. You end up with a champion that's not the guy who's probably the right champion.
Yeah, that's how that hack Sakuraba won the UFC heavyweight tournament in Japan.
No, that was because Big John McCarthy messed up a ref call. But go figure. So I mean,
Big John McCarthy doesn't mess up, bruh.
Yeah,
because it's not an action figure.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of things that could happen, but I like the matchup, and I think that Johnny Hendricks is going to wind up being the new champ.
Daniel?
I think Condit Hendricks is the fight that I would love to see. I understand maybe give it some time, but man, when those two fight again, mark me down for that one. Hendricks versus Lawler, that's an exciting fight. I will say, though, it'll be interesting to see. They moved the John Jones title fight to the UFC 172 card. It'll be interesting to see how they stack this card up, because if you're doing Hendricks versus Robbie Lawler as your main attraction on pay-per-view, it'll be interesting to see what the buy rates are for that one. You're going to have to do a hell of a job building up Hendricks and Lawler. But I'm all for the fight. I'd love a four-man tournament because I like cool shit. I know that probably ruined like things like legitimacy and stuff, but I love cool shit. Lawler versus Hendricks promises cool shit. You got two heavy-handed dudes, and it'll be great because down the line we'll eventually hopefully see Condit fight with Johnny Hendricks or Robbie Lawler, and that sounds like a lot of cool shit. So there you go.
Dude, how did the McAllisters get on the plane and not realize that Kevin was there? You're on to the airport. You're going. How about the van ride to the airport, for the love of God? No, sorry. Home Alone's on AMC. Josh?
This is the perfect fight to make right now. Timing is everything for a title fight, and Robbie Lawler is on fire right now. Hendricks, in a lot of people's mind, is the rightful champ. It's the fight that makes all the sense in the world. Condit is obviously somebody who's right there in line for a shot in very short order, but he just lost to GSP and he just lost to Hendricks. It just doesn't make sense to book him there when you have somebody like Lawler who's just coming off an impressive win over McDonald and destroying Josh Koscheck. He's ready. It's his time, and I can't wait for that fight. It's going to be awesome.
Here's my counterpoint, Josh. Condit.
Yeah, just lost to Hendricks.
Josh, Condit.
Lost to Hendricks.
Josh, Condit.
Lost to Hendricks.
Listen, Josh, Condit.
Yeah, he lost to Hendricks, that guy.
Here's what I would do if I were in the UFC's shoes. You keep Jones and Teixeira as your 171 main event. I don't have any faith in Hendricks versus Lawler as a draw there. And you know what? That fight is in March. We have 3 whole months to wait for Matt Brown to get healthy. So what you can do there...
He's got 2 herniated discs in his back. That's going to take some time.
That's going to be like, what, 2 weeks? 3 tops?
He is the immortal. He should have better healing powers.
Well, he's not dying, though.
All right. We'll say, like I said, I would have loved to see a 4-man tournament. Not a 1-night tournament. But Hendricks versus Lawler as one semifinal. Condit and Brown as the other one if Brown's ready within a reasonable timetable. And then you've built it up. Then you have something that can be a draw over seemingly just, you know, stacking 2 random guys in the welterweight division against each other for a title. I just would have loved to see, you know, especially with, you know, the story behind Matt Brown, the Cinderella story that would be. I just thought there was a lot that you could do for it. I do not trust the UFC to build up stars. They're terrible at it. They're worse than TNA at it, for the love of God. UFC cannot promote stars from the ground up. They simply can't or won't, unless your name is Ronda and or Rousey. And we see how that worked out for them.
She tries to grow up their own star.
There's that John Jones guy. A couple people have heard of him.
Oh, you mean the one that Gatorade provided free drinks for if they put his logo on the shorts?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, he's really making things work.
Well, only him and Cody McKenzie are wearing Nike in the octagon.
Hand-drawn swoosh.
907.
Yeah, but, the Nike swoosh was legit. It was the 907 that was hand-drawn.
Awesome.
He didn't skip. He went to Walmart and bought some Nikes.
It was Cody McKenzie. Those were and ones.
Nolan's. 'Tis the season stale. Buy one, get one, $9.99. So, anywhom, I would like to see, on the 170 card, you have Hendricks Lawler. Maybe if Brown's ready, 172 card, you have Condit Brown. They can both be fine co-mains for whatever the headliner wants to be. And then, after you've built them up enough, they have enough juice behind them to where they can headline their own card.
Yes. Counterpoint to the tournament. Go ahead, Connor.
Riled up all
of you. Does this whole welterweight title thing remind anyone of when Jake Shields vacated his Strikeforce middleweight championship? And everyone was like, all the possibilities. Because I remember reading about everyone wanting like a 4-man tournament and all sorts of fun
smaller
stuff.
Fighting Bobaloo. All right, we'll put this welterweight and this light heavyweight against each other.
Yeah.
I love Strikeforce. There's no clout to Condit being the former interim champion? That just disappears. It goes by the wayside.
Not when he just lost to the guy who's the obvious person to fight for the title.
Listen.
His timing is completely bad for this spot, but it's not like he's going anywhere.
What's your counterpoint, Josh?
My counterpoint is, what happened the last time the UFC put on a tournament?
It was the flyweight tournament.
It was an unmitigated disaster. There's no way they were going to do that again here with... you ended up with a major delay because you had to have a rematch. Two of the guys had to fight again because of a judging error when there should have been a sudden death round. They're not going to open themselves up to that possibility coming up again.
I'm not saying one night. I'm saying you do...
That wasn't a one-night tournament either.
Tournament in the loosest sense of the word.
You know, it turned into there being a year between there being a champion crown, and that doesn't bode well for them at 170. That's one of their marquee divisions. They need a champion now. Just from practicality, I would love to see a tournament as a fan, but practicality, it doesn't make any sense because they just did that and it backfired completely. Why would they do it again now?
Because Condit. Exactly. He can make anything okay.
Yeah, I know. He lost to Hendricks.
Listen, Condit, though.
Yeah, I had the guy that lost to Hendricks.
Nolan, back me up.
Man, I love the WEC, but I don't know, man. I was a Brock Larson guy myself.
Wow.
That's just because, dude, that was before you could read and you thought it said Lesnar.
Oh, no. I was Brock Larson fan numero uno, and then he pretty much fell off the face.
Look forward to him and look forward to him and Ben Askren in 1FC.
That's happening? Oh, wow.
No, I just think that it's the most likely fight that's going on. Wow,
he's got to get through the best ever first.
Yeah. Got to fight Carlo Prater. I know, man.
All Carlos Condit's opponents, right? Except for Phil.
Anyway, I just can't get over the fact that Robbie Lawler's fighting for UFC title.
I know, right?
It's 2014. Awesome. It is the funniest thing. Like, MMA is so great in that way. Mark Hunt's the top 10 heavyweight after losing to Melvin Manhoef and Gegard Mousasi. There's a fun fact. Your top 10 heavyweight is lost to a top 10 soon-to-be middleweight here. That's fantastic. And then, of course, you got Robbie Lawler, who lost to Lorenz Larkin in Strikeforce. Getting a crack at the welterweight title. I love it just for the sheer WTF factor there. It's pretty fantastic. Hendricks has kind of turned me off lately as a fan, just in the sense that he has had a lot of excuses he's like to vocalize. And I understand fighters have to have excuses, but tone it down, buddy. You know, that said, I think it'll be a good fight. I do agree that it was kind of a mistake taking the Jones to Teixeira fight off there. You're not so sure how it's going to draw, considering GSP was the only plus 700,000 draw, him and Silva, pretty much. So we'll see. I think they're going to need to prop that division up with some decent fights to get people to watch to build the stars. But, you know, the UFC, their hype, their PR team died long, long ago.
Taylor?
All right. I was saving myself up for this. I'm a little surprised.
Michael McDonald?
Anybody that knows me in the MMA blogosphere or whatever knows that I'm pretty much constantly strapped to Carlos Condit's testicles. But you cannot deny what the guy's done. Like, you talk about how Robbie Lawler just beat Rory McDonald. Carlos Condit beat Rory McDonald 4 days before Robbie Lawler lost to Bobaloo. Like, I don't give a shit about his camp change. The guy lost to Lorenz Larkin in 2012. Like, that's the guy that you're picking over a guy that's had a fight of the night or knockout of the night in, like, his past seven fights, except
for the UFC. Who's also lost. Two of his last three fights.
Yeah, he lost to both the former.
And he lost to GSP and Johnny, the other guy who's fighting for the title.
That's nice, Ben. He lost
to Hendricks.
He also beat Rory when he was 21 3 years ago, and Rory's had that much time to improve, and Lawler beat this version of Rory. But okay.
Okay.
Shit, I'll take that version of Rory over the abomination that showed up the last two fights.
Yeah, he lost to GSP, but he's the only guy that's been even close to finishing him in the last how long. He lost to Johnny Hendricks, and like, I understand that nobody in the media scored it for him, but it was a close fight, and personally I scored it for Condit. I know a couple other guys that did, but I definitely understand the Hendricks calls.
No one scored that for Condit that wasn't a hardcore Condit super fan.
I scored
literally no one.
You're a hardcore Condit super fan. You just said you hang from his nuts.
But I can judge objectively.
Clearly not, because every other person that was in a Condit super fan judged for Hendricks.
I scored it for Condit. I know a couple other guys that did that aren't massive fans of him. I'm just saying that it was a super close fight that deserves a rematch. And I think that he deserves that rematch more than Robbie Lawler deserves a fight with him on the strength of a schedule that includes 2013 Josh Koscheck, Bobby Volker, and the ghost of Rory McDonald.
The ghost? All right, too much, man. Sorry.
you did watch that fight, right, dude? Rory McDonald was terrific.
Because Robbie Lawler was terrific.
Robbie Lawler was phenomenal.
Dude, Rory was stuck in sand the entire fight. Robbie may have done well. Rory did not look like he did.
You could have put Bobby Green in there and he would have beaten Rory McDonald.
Rory looked god-awful his last two fights. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. And that will do it for this week. We will be back next week, Christmas week, talking some glory. And looking forward to UFC 168 live from Las Vegas, Nevada. That'll do it for us. Thank you much, and have a good last free week before Christmas.